You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, tick, tick, tick. Two of our ticking time bombs exploded, and now the country is in upheaval again.
Well, we knew it would happen. It was bound to happen. The rhetoric from the left, the media, Hollywood, has all been so nasty and so vitriolic that it just was going to set somebody off who's already unstable to start with.
As you know, I've been talking about this for years. I talked about it before even the Gabby Giffords shooting. And nothing has changed. As a matter of fact, in my professional opinion, it's gotten a lot worse. The rhetoric is certainly worse, more violent than I've ever heard it before. So instead of calming things down, the left just triples down and is now attacking everybody. Now, before, they were just attacking President Trump. But now they're attacking all of Trump's supporters, which, of course, includes us, and everybody else that they can think of that is not on the left. And that is just not the American way.
Well, and they're blaming it on President Trump, which is really ludicrous, because he had nothing to do with either of these. These two people had existing issues long before President Trump was president. One of them, the bomber, actually the impotent bomber, because his bombs really wouldn't have hurt anybody is what I've heard. So I don't know if he didn't know how to make them or he was just making a statement. I'm not sure what. But he didn't obviously like the rhetoric that he was hearing because, Ron, all of the people that were targeted there were people that have really bad-mouthed the president. So I don't know if it had to do with the president, but he certainly is not at fault. This guy has had long-standing issues.
And with a lot of people, by the way. And the thing that really bothers me is that the left and the mainstream media, which, as far as I'm concerned, has become the left, all they want to do is dump on President Trump. And President Trump had about as much to do with this bomber and this active shooter in the Jewish synagogue than the crazy guy that was the Bernie Sanders supporter who shot Congressman Scalise and the other guys.
Right, at the baseball game.
It had nothing to do with our presidential candidates, but it had everything to do with mental health. But what sets these people off is the rhetoric. And by the way, let's be even Stephen here, the rhetoric from both sides. You know, it was interesting because, you know, I do a lot of media consultation. Today was no different. I got called by a international media network, and I don't even need to mention the name to you, but they wanted to talk about how President Trump's rhetoric is causing all this violence. And I said, you know what, you're talking to the wrong guy. It's not because I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm not going to support that theme. If you want to know why these people blow up and send bombs to people or get a gun and go into a synagogue and shoot people or go into a political rally and you know, or a political get-together and shoot someone like that whack job shot Gabby Giffords, I can certainly tell you that. But I don't think they're interested in that.
No, they're not interested in that. But I'm going to hope that you agree with me, but if you don't, we'll agree to disagree on that it's the rhetoric on both sides, because I don't think that the rhetoric on the conservative side is anywhere near the rhetoric on the left. And I'll give you some examples.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you, I don't think we're going to disagree at all.
Okay.
Because it's a different type of rhetoric that you hear from Republicans and conservatives as opposed to what you hear from the left. It's a totally different level okay, where the left is way out of, you know, on a different planet with regards to the just disgusting, violent things that they say about our president of the United States and about people that support him.
Well, absolutely. And here's some things that you have never heard in recent months Republicans saying. You have Maxine Waters calling for people to get in the faces of Republicans and tell them that they're not welcome anywhere and to do it in public wherever they are and with their families. You have Eric Holder saying to kick them when they're down. You have Hillary saying not to be civil to Republicans. You have Jerry Brown saying that somebody has to do something about this guy, talking about our president. You have Joe Biden wanting to beat up the president behind the gym. You have...
Oh, and believe me, it's far worse. You had that so-called comedian, Kathy Griffin. What's her name?
Griffin.
Impressed me. Okay. with the decapitated head of Donald Trump, you've got Madonna saying that she should go bomb the White House. I mean, do you see the different level of rhetoric that is violent rhetoric?
Well, absolutely.
As opposed to President Trump saying that the mainstream media is the enemy of the people, right? And that's not violent rhetoric.
When President Obama was president, we never had people on album covers standing over his dead body. We never had them holding his decapitated head. We never had them wishing him death in so many different violent ways. And no, this is, so don't tell me that this is President Trump's fault. The people that this person, this sick man with the bombs targeted, were people that use this kind of rhetoric. So that, to me, is a true sign that that's what set him off. That and his mental health in the first place. He already had issues.
Well, sweetheart, you know, and I've said this many times during our conversations, and you know I work a tremendous amount of death cases. 80% of my caseload has a mental health component. And that's why I refer to these people as ticking time bombs. You are never going to know when you're going to set them off or what you are going to say or do that is going to set them off. They watch television. They listen to the radio just like we do. And when they hear people that are supposed to be role models, such as politicians or such as celebrities that people resonate with and want to follow, that's why they have all those celebrity magazines, for God's sakes, at the newsstands. Those people matter to the people with mental health issues. And when you get someone like Robert De Niro making violent suggestions about Trump, when you get Madonna saying, let's go bomb the White House, that sets these people off because they think, well, if those people can say those things, then it must be right. So I can not only think those things, but I can go ahead and do those things. And when I do it, people are going to notice me.
Well, and you have the New York City Public Theater that has Trump as Julius Caesar on stage being stabbed by everybody.
Right.
You have Beyonce and her formation video, which shows violence against police officers, and her Super Bowl performance, violence against police officers.
Well, you know, about violence against police officers and on the left. So back in 2015, I saw a photograph. And by the way, it was recently reposted, and it was at the Anarchist Book Fair in the People's Republic of San Francisco, and they had a large painting of a police car with a police officer in it, and then it was called Pin the Molotov Cocktail on the Police Car.
Oh, great.
And so they gave these little kids, you know, like the tail for the donkey, they gave them little Molotov cocktail, drawings, figures, and they had to go up, these kids, and they were being directed to go up and put them someplace on the police car with the police officer in it. And, okay, so those are your teachers, those are your role models, and look what they're doing to the children. Is it any wonder where we have kids grow up and they're anti-police, or they want to put a Molotov cocktail when they get older, maybe in your house?
Yeah. Well, I totally agree. And the thing is that you never see this kind of rhetoric on the conservative side. And I don't care how you want to spin this and how the media wants to spin this. When you have every show like the Academy Awards and all those shows, and everybody is bad-mouthing the president, and everybody is just full of hate and vitriol.
Well, you know what?
This is what you get.
But they're not only bad-mouthing the president. They are bad-mouthing the people that support this
Absolutely.
President. They are bad-mouthing Christians. They are bad-mouthing gun owners, right? They're bad-mouthing pro-life people. They're just bad-mouthing everybody that has values and decency and common sense. They want to know why the country can't get together.
Right. On one of the shows, I don't remember if it was CNN or MSNBC, recently I saw a guest, and the question to the guest was that if all of the people that voted for Trump were racist, and she said yes, every one of them. So 50% of the country then is automatically just labeled as racist because they cast a vote for President Trump.
Well, this has gone augured in so much. You know, Linda, people in this country forget that the foundation of the United States of America was built on civil, engaging political discourse, okay, from opposing sides. That's what it's about. Not about screaming and yelling and threatening to hit people or to hurt people or to bomb the White House or to threaten their wives and their children, but just engaging discourse. We agree to disagree.
Right.
That is the level and the only level that it should be taken to.
No, I agree. I just think that these people need to tone it down, and they really need to look in the mirror for the responsibility of who's to blame for these people going off the deep end is the words that they say, because words to some people become a call to action. And that's what's happening here, is that their words have become a call to action to people that are already mentally unstable.
And that action is violent action. And, you know, I'm going to go right back to it. If there are people on the right that are expressing violent views, then they need to go. All right? Because we don't need that either.
No, we don't need that either.
So the caravan's coming.
Well, it's on its way, but it's quite a ways away, except for I think that they're getting free rides.
Oh, they're getting bussed. I tell you what, I knew this was going to take place, and look at it now, because now there's not one caravan, but there's now like three different caravans. Now, the one big caravan is supposed to split off into two different directions. One's going to head towards Tijuana at the San Diego border, and the other one's supposed to go out towards El Paso, Texas. But there are two more caravans right behind this one. And I'm telling you, we had better be locked and loaded, and with respect to the enforcement of our borders, because these people are going to go right through us like poop through a goose, and they are going to get the catch and release, this ridiculous, idiotic program that we've had for years that nobody's cleaned up. And then once they give them their citation, release them inside the United States, and they give them their citation to appear in court, 98% of them,
you'll never see again.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, and they're going to turn out to be voters. Trust me.
Well, legal or illegal voters are going to turn out to be voters. Now, I thought it was pretty interesting that Obama's take on this is that these people are poor, starving refugees coming up through Mexico. Have you seen the pictures on TV of these people?
Apparently, he's not watching television.
Apparently.
Because I don't see too many of them that have missed a meal, to be honest with you.
Listen, I don't think I could walk all those miles, 25 miles a day, and for days, and, you know, for however many, it was over 1,000 miles that they need to walk. Okay, they are not poor, starving refugees. These kids look well-fed. They're playing with toys. I'm watching them on TV.
They're getting three hots and a cot. Somebody's feeding them, and somebody's transporting them. Somebody is working out the logistics of this whole thing. And, of course, it's timed right for the midterm elections.
Well, they won't get here by the midterm elections. They're too far away. But
they'll all get here before 2020. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. But you know what was interesting is Mexico actually has been somewhat cooperative in this, which I'm glad to see.
Well, we're holding their feet to the fire.
Well, good and, for us.
But you remember when we were down in Mexico, and we were talking with real Mexicans, and they're pretty much more like President Trump. They want to have their own wall. They're concerned about the Guatemalans, the Hondurans, the San Salvadorians, the El Salvadorians, you know, people like that coming up through their country and taking their jobs.
Well,
okay,
and
which are a lot less jobs than we have in the United States.
So I was surprised that the Mexican government offered them jobs and offered them amnesty there. And that's kind of unusual because I know that the Mexican people don't like them there any more than we like them here because they do take their jobs and they do take away from the things that they can have in their country just as they do in our country.
Yeah, but I think we're holding their feet to the fire. And I think President Trump is right to do that. Okay, I'm telling you what, he's playing it really nice. If it was me, I'd say, you know what, we're going to stop Americans from coming into Mexico for tourism as long as you guys are acting in this way. And I'm telling you what, that country would dry up in about 2 weeks. So they need those tourist dollars. They need every dollar that comes from the United States. But I do have to hand it to President Nieto. He is trying to do something to stop these people, but they're not interested in staying in Mexico. They're looking for the what's it called, the brass ring,
and yeah.
Coming into the United States and getting allowed to live here, getting allowed the subsidies, and getting the vote. And if that happens, forget the Republican Party and the United States of America after 2020, because it will be a totally different country.
Well, it will. And, you know, the thing is that they don't want to stay in Mexico, although some have taken the amnesty there and others have said that they'll stay and work in Mexico for a year or two and get enough money to get a coyote to bring them across the border. Other ones are just going to keep plugging on. And President Trump has committed over 5,000 troops to our border, but there's so many places that they can enter that, you know, I don't know how many we're going to be able to stop. And I honestly don't know what the plan would be to stop them.
I don't think we have a plan. And that's something that everybody in the United States of America that are reasonably thinking people should ponder and worry about.
Well, I'm going to get you another cup of coffee, and then I want to tell you what does work.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, you got your coffee. I'm going to tell you what works, Ron. In 2015, Hungary, where we just were some weeks back here, had over 391,000 attempted and completed illegal crossings along its external border. Okay, 391,000. That's a lot.
For a country that size.
It's a small country.
Right.
Some of the migrants were passing through on the way to other countries.
Germany.
Yep, and some wanted to stay. The Hungarian government constructed a 110-mile-long, 13-foot-high, razor-topped fence along the Hungarian-Serbian border, where 95% of the illegal crossings were happening. And that created a bottleneck on the other side, but that wasn't their problem anymore. The number of illegal border crossings in 2016, so in 1 year, dropped 95%. And by 2017, they had dropped 99.6%. So that the entire amount of illegal crossings in the year 2017 were 1,418 illegal border crossings. Then Hungary also made it a crime to cross their border illegally and punishable by imprisonment.
Well, see, that's the thing. Now, you know, the other day I was emailing with a friend of mine. Actually, we were just going back and forth on Facebook with a guy, a military guy that I used to work with. And, you know, he was pointing out that, you know, all these walls throughout history haven't worked. Right, the Wall of China didn't work. This wall didn't work.
Well, it did work.
Well, it did work. but here's the thing, okay? And even in our own country, we can build a big wall, and you know, when we go through El Paso, we can see the wall on our way to California.
But it's not
back
a big wall.
But it's not. But
it's
here's
a fence.
The deal.
I could climb over.
Yeah, it is. But here's the thing. It isn't just a wall. You've got to have the rule of law. You've got to have laws that modify behavior like the Hungarians did. You can't call it some sort of stupid civil misdemeanor. Trump has said, you know, we need to make this a felony. I'm 100% in agreement with him. And we have to punish people for trying to come across our borders. And unless you have that, along with some sort of physical barrier, we're going to keep having these problems.
Well, I've seen a picture of Hungary's physical barrier, and you can tell why it works, because it's imposing. The other thing that the EU and Turkey did is that they, starting in 2016, wherever the migrants were from, they started sending them back. And so then at the same time, other countries like Macedonia, Croatia, Slovenia, Serbia, they all closed off their borders. So everybody kind of got on board, and it has really stopped a lot of this illegal, most of it, 99.6% of the illegal immigration into these people's countries. That is what works. We need to build the wall. Well, Newt Gingrich came out with a proposed Republican pledge on health care. And he lays out the points of what the Republicans are interested in health care. And it's a little bit lengthy, so I don't want to go through what the proposal is right now. But what I do want to say right now is what President Trump has already done. And there's plenty more where that came from, which is what I really like. Because, you know, I don't think that most people, including myself, and I'm pretty, you know, stay up on things pretty well. But all these things that he's done in healthcare for people, I think is pretty amazing in the short time he's been president. So here are some of them, okay?
Yeah.
And chime in when you'd like to. He passed the legislation to eliminate the Obamacare individual mandate penalty.
Well, I think everybody knows that.
Yeah. He passed the legislation to end pharmacy gag clauses, and we talked about that, so patients can find the lowest prices for drugs. And I have more to say about that, so keep that in mind, because there's new news on that. He passed the right to try legislation, which I think is really, really important, that people can try alternative methods of medicine that have not been FDA
exactly
approved,
experimental right? drugs.
He passed $6 billion in new funding to fight the opioid
epidemic.
Opioid epidemic, sorry.
Which is huge.
He passed the historic VA Mission Act, which replaced the Veterans Choice Program, and passed VA Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act to make sure the Department of Veterans Affairs employees are held accountable for bad behavior and bad service, which I think is great.
Well, and that's been going on for years as far as the bad service is concerned, and the veterans deserve better. So I thought that that was a very big deal for the Obama administration to get that done, because no other previous...
Trump administration.
What did I say? The Obama. What am I thinking? But, you know, because no other president had done that. Everybody had talked about it, but it was just empty rhetoric.
It was empty rhetoric, and he did it. The Trump administration has made some more affordable health care options for Americans by association health plans and short-term limited duration plans. So they have some options that they didn't have before. In his first year, the FDA approved more affordable generic drugs than ever before in history, which is a huge thing for lowering costs of drugs.
I think it was a 90% increase, as a matter of fact, in that.
Yeah, well, I was going to talk about that, and I still...
Oh, I don't mean to steal your
thunder. No, that's okay. Thanks to that, many of the drug companies are freezing or reversing planned price increases because Trump said, oh, no, I don't think so.
You know, and I'm all, let me tell you, because our daughter, who now works for us now with our new ETC forensic company, but she was with one of the major pharmaceutical companies for years as a managing microbiologist. And, you know, she's always telling us about the billions of dollars, literally, that are being spent by pharmaceutical companies in research to bring out these drugs. So I don't begrudge them trying to make a profit and, you know, gain back all that money that they put in R&D. I just don't want them to be screwing the American people on top of that.
No, I agree with you. And just to the point on that, the one about, you know, the drugs, it is 90% that we have more generic drugs available. That's a lot. That's a big number. He also reformed the Medicare program to stop many of the hospitals from overcharging seniors on their drugs and saving them hundreds of millions of dollars just this year alone. That's a big deal to people on a fixed income run. That when you're elderly, you spend a lot of money on drugs and pharmaceuticals, and to save money on them could mean putting food in your mouth.
No, you know, that's exactly right. But you don't even have to be old to do that. You know, when I go and get a prescription medication, the first thing that I ask my pharmacist is, hey, is there a generic drug that does the exact same thing that this one does? And you know, they're required. Once you ask the question, they're required to tell you, hey, you know what? Yeah, there is one. And here's what it is. And I'll tell you what, me personally, I have found a remarkable discount between the generic drug and the, you know, I don't know, what do you call it kind of drug, the regular name drug.
The brand name drug,
thank you.
And yeah, and also, you know, he gave them permission to tell you about those generic drugs and actually gave them the command, so to speak, that they need to tell you about those generic drugs. Hey, you can buy this at a better price, and also if you can pay less paying cash instead of being on your insurance. And one more thing that he did is he expanded the VA for the VA. He expanded their telehealth services, walk-in clinics, same-day urgent primary and mental health care, and he launched a promised 24-hour White House Department of Veterans Affairs hotline. So he's really kind of put his money where his mouth is. He said he was going to fix this. He's done just a tremendous amount. And what just came out is that he's taken another new step. And that new step is kind of a bold proposal. He's going to have, when they do advertising for drugs on television, now they're going to have to put their price of that drug on their commercial as well, so that people can compare and see what that drug costs.
Well, you know what? I don't know if you even know the answer to this. Maybe it's not a fair question to ask you. But do drugs cost different? Do they have different prices for different parts in the country? In other words, a drug in California, is it a different price than something in Minnesota or something in Montana?
I don't know that.
Okay, well, that would be important to know.
Yeah, I don't know that. But I do know that certainly the generics are less expensive, and even with the brand name, often you can pay less by paying cash than you would pay through your insurance. So
that's
people
true.
Need to ask those questions all the time.
That's good advice.
But he's continuing, and Newt Gingrich has come out with this entire plan that if the Republicans maintain the House and Senate, which they'll need to do probably to get a lot of this done, is they've just got a huge health care benefit plan for America.
Well, you know, Newt Gingrich, maybe some people don't remember Newt, but Newt was sort of the leader of the contract with America.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
which
so
worked out
I think
beautifully.
If anybody, it did. And I think if anybody could get something like that going, at least a person that is a brink thinker like Newt Gingrich, then I think that would be a successful program.
Yeah, and here's some more good health news. A new FDA-approved flu treatment pill is coming out.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, so it's the first and treatment in nearly 20 years to combat the flu. And it's called, I guess it's called Zofluza. Zofluza.
Say that again.
Yeah,
Zofluza.
And it's made by the same people that produce Tamiflu.
Okay.
And it covers the treatment of uncomplicated influenza or flu in people 12 years and older.
So
that's huge.
Well, wait a second. So a shot, you get it once a year. Is the pill the same thing? You take the pill once a year?
Well, this, as I read it, actually is something that is going to help you if you get the flu.
Oh, okay. So wait a minute. So now is it a pill that if you get the flu, it's going to mitigate the symptoms? Or is it something like a shot that you take to prevent yourself from getting the flu?
No, this is something that mitigates the symptoms if you get the flu.
Okay, so that's a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right, so we're still going to have to get our flu shots, aren't we?
I think you get your flu shot and
then take the pill.
They recommend flu shots by the end of October.
Oh, yeah. No, I know it's coming
you
up.
You and I are totally off our schedule because I think we got ours in February.
So. We're going to get another one. I'm telling you what.
No,
I try
but you
to
know
get
what?
My,
it's work for
well,
us.
Well, I try to get my flu shot, and then the very next week, I try to get my pneumonia shot.
Yeah.
You know, because I've had that. And then once you have it, you're always susceptible to having it. So now I got to get a pneumonia shot for the rest of my life.
Well, and now they have a shingles shot, which I guess I had no idea until somebody that I know got shingles that a huge number of people get that. And I don't want that. So,
okay.
So I'm going to get that shot.
Now, okay. So wait a minute. Now, let me slow you down. So is the shingles shot a preventative medicine?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All
yeah.
right. Good to know.
And that's a really well worth having.
Okay.
So more health news. You know, it's kind of, we've known that this is coming, but the number of unvaccinated kids in our country has quadrupled in the last 17 years.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about that.
Yeah.
Where parents are, you know, thinking about not vaccinating their kids. You can't do that. And I know that there's some religious sects that don't want their kids vaccinated. My God, that's a huge mistake to make. Don't do that.
Well, I think so. And they have a new, I don't know, I guess a new disease that kids are getting. And it's similar. It's not polio, but it's similar to polio. And it's very devastating. And you have to wonder if that vaccine wouldn't help with that, too. I don't know the answer, but I'm with you that I think that, especially with the global traveling that people do.
Exactly.
They carry things over borders
exactly.
all the time.
Exactly.
So,
and by the way, not to be a fearmonger, but that's another problem that we didn't even discuss, you and I, when we're talking about illegal immigration. Because when there is illegal immigration, there is absolutely no vetting medically and health-wise of people that come into this country.
Absolutely.
Right?
And they could have anything. They could have tuberculosis.
Oh,
they could have anything.
Well, polio is back. My God, I thought we got rid of the polio, you know, with the Salk vaccine in the 50s. Remember the sugar
yes.
cubes?
Oh, I absolutely
You know,
do.
You went in the high school gym
yep.
and took your sugar cube, and
yep.
We eradicated polio.
Yep.
But not anymore. It's back.
Well, because it wasn't eradicated all over the world, and that's correct. The problem. We are absolutely a global world now. Two more little health news things that are interesting. This just happened in San Diego, which I really like that this happened. So a federal judge in San Diego has permanently barred enforcement of California's Reproductive Fact Act, which required that pro-life crisis pregnancy centers disseminate information about abortion. So if you are a Catholic woman's health center, or you are a pro-life woman's health center, you were required to give information about abortion. You no longer are.
Well, because I think that has to be the separation of church and state, right? I mean, your religious doctrine is what it is. And I don't think the government has any business telling you, with your own religious preferences, what you should say and what you shouldn't say, or what you should believe or what you shouldn't believe, or you know what I mean? And so I absolutely agree with that judge. I think that's a great ruling.
Yeah, I do too. And one more little article that has to do with health that I read is just something you'll be really happy to hear, Ron. And that is that stress can be good for you.
Oh, my God. Look at the 14 to 16-hour days we've been doing again for the last couple of weeks. It's just nuts. And we've got two more weeks of this, too. We work all through the weekend. So, yeah, there's stress there.
Well, there is stress there. But, you know, what this article said, and I totally agree with this, is that deadlines are stressful, but they get results. And some people are good with living with deadlines, and some people are good with doing things at the last minute, like somebody I know.
Who would that be?
Yeah.
And listen, a lot of that stuff is not my fault.
No, stress.
I have to work with attorneys. Okay?
Stress is
they stress me out.
Stress is a motivator, and it helps you accomplish your goals. So any entrepreneur, and I are one, will tell you that the stress... just one of the things about stress is it works. It motivates you. Then you can see your dreams come true. There's nothing like stress to motivate. Stress and fear are great motivators, but you have to use them.
This is a horrible discussion.
No. You have to rethink of stress as being helpful instead of harmful. And honestly, it is that mindset that makes stress helpful or harmful in your body.
I agree. I'm just glad I'm not a drinking man.
Okay, Ron, just so you know, that people who experienced a lot of stress but didn't view it as harmful were no more likely to die from stress. In fact, they had the lowest risk of dying of anyone in the studies that they've done, just based on how you feel about it.
So there. Guess what? I'm out of coffee. I'm going to try some of that vanilla tea.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere, and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to ResponseToActiveShooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, ResponseToActiveShooter.com, and be safe out there.
Well, it's Ron and Linda and Desi on the road again, back in the RV and transiting from Texas back out to Southern California. God, you gotta love it.
Well, I think we're done transiting because we're sitting in Southern California.
Been here for a couple of days, and I'm telling you what, the traffic is hideous.
Hasn't changed, has it?
Oh, God. I don't miss this place for a heartbeat. So anyway, but I do have friends in California and a couple of guys that are classmates of mine. And, you know, one guy is, his name is Frank Bernsdorf, and the other one is actually not only another classmate of mine, but a colleague, a fellow police officer when I first started my career in the Redwood City Police Department in California. So both those guys have got birthdays, and I'm going to reach out to them and wish Frank Bernsdorf and Don Banks a happy birthday.
Okay, well, happy birthday to them, and I happened to be on Frank's Facebook site the other day.
He's a card, isn't he?
He's got quite a site.
I love
good
Frank.
Good job, Frank.
You know what? And by the way, let me just say something good about Frank, because there's so many good things to say about him. But he holds the Sequoia High School Alumni Association together, okay, on Facebook. And so we get to all talk to each other and you know, kind of keep up to date with everything that everybody's been doing and, you know, Frank is just a remarkable man, and I can't thank him enough. So happy birthday, Frank.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do a whole potpourri right now, Ron. I mean, usually we kind of stick to a subject, but I'm not sticking to anything.
You're kind of bouncing around today.
I'm going to bounce a lot because there's so many fun things to talk about, and I just am like a kid in a candy store. So here I go.
And you know what? I'm glad you're doing that because a lot of the news these days is just depressing.
It's depressing.
So I like you livening it up.
Well, you know, since the economy is doing so well, workers have been quitting their jobs at the highest rate in years because they know that they can go get another job at better pay right now because there is a dearth of employees to be had right now.
A dearth?
A dearth.
Oh, my God. don't use those college words on me.
So, in case you'd like a job with that pays highly...
That's what I need. I need a high-paying job.
There are some about 5 jobs that have a lot of openings. Now, you have to have degrees for these, but if you want to make a 6-figure salary, we have a lot of openings to be a psychiatrist. We have a lot of openings to be a nurse practitioner, and I know a lot of people that are going in there.
Oh, nurses making a lot of money. No doubt about that.
Physician assistants, and we have friends
PAs,
going into
we just
that.
Had one of our friends just graduated this past year and to be a PA, and I think he's working out of Houston? Or where is he working
I think out of Houston. Or a dentist. Apparently, we need some dentists. There's 2,100 job openings for dentists in the country. And you could also be a tax manager. Now, that doesn't kind of fit in the rest of the categories, but there's 2,000 openings at companies like Forbes for tax managers.
Well, not with my math skills, as you well know.
Yeah, well, that probably wouldn't be your job, nor would any of the others.
I could do the psychiatrist one.
Yeah,
I could do that.
You could probably do that one well, yes. So, bouncing over to the lottery. Somebody won the big mega lottery, and it was not me.
Okay, well, wait a minute now. All right, now I'm going to ask you a personal question. Of course it is. It's sort of both of our money. Just share with me how much money you spent or you lost on the lottery. Just tell me.
I don't know, probably about $40.
Okay, now you're forgiven.
And then we have the Powerball that also had 2 winners. So all the big money went away. But the thing is that there are billions of dollars in unclaimed prizes because everybody forgets to check their ticket and they check for those big winning numbers, but they don't check if they won $100,000 or $5,000.
Well, you know what? I'm guilty of that.
Oh, and no!
I swear to God, I am. But you know what? The other day, I was in HEB, and there was a guy there with his lottery tickets underneath the scanner, and he was running all his tickets underneath the scanner to see if he won any money. And I saw him doing that. I said, damn, I never do that.
Yes, you bet. Oh, you look, we could have won money. Oh, that's trouble.
Oh, I feel bad now.
Yeah, you should. Well, I check mine online, so. Okay, I'm bouncing again.
Go ahead.
Okay, love this story. This is bizarre. And since we're in the month of October, it's kind of the Halloween month. I thought it was fitting that there's a restaurant in Tokyo that creates menus based on the last meals of famous death row inmates.
Where? In Japan or in the United States?
In Tokyo. In Japan.
Okay, so they have the death penalty in Japan?
No. They launched a restaurant based on the last meals of famous death row inmates here in the United States.
Okay, well, that's what I asked you.
So the restaurant is called Ninjin Restaurant, but that means human restaurant. It opened in the city's red light district, which is interesting, and it serves meals based on things that people like Gary Mark Gilmore ordered for their last meal, which was a hamburger, a baked potato, a hard-boiled egg, and 3 Jack Daniel's shots.
Okay, now. Okay, Jeopardy quiz question, criminologist to wife. What is Gary Gilmore famous for with respect to the death penalty?
I give up.
The last person.
Wait. Oh, I know.
Go ahead.
He was killed by firing squad.
Oh, you got it. Boy, that's a tough one. Yeah, he was the last person to be killed by the firing squad. I think it was in Utah.
That's how I'd want to go.
Okay, and I think in Utah, I don't know what they do now, but at the time, they offered hanging or execution by firing squad.
Oh, well, there's no contest there
okay.
for me.
Yeah, I'd be taking a bullet.
Okay, well, another meal you could get is the Black Widow Judy Buonanno, who dined on asparagus, broccoli, tomatoes, and strawberries.
Oh, vegan.
Yep. Or you could get the meal that John Wayne Gacy had. Remember the killer clown guy?
I was saying he went to McDonald's, right?
No. Close, though. He got a bucket of KFC, French fries, a pound of strawberries, and fried shrimp.
Oh, he was a sick puppy.
So this restaurant, this is a bizarre restaurant, but what can I say? It's one of those things. It's actually called a pop-up restaurant. It's only going to be in the month of October in Japan.
Can you help me with that? What is a pop-up restaurant?
Well, it's just for a short time.
So it just pops up and they do it for a short time?
Yeah, they do it for a short time and then it closes down.
Oh,
yeah.
That's it. That's very interesting. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, moving on to completely random other subjects. I love this one. The Titanic 2 is set to sail in 2022 following the exact original route of the Titanic. They are building a replica, an exact replica of the Titanic, with the exception that it will have some better electronics and things like that.
Well,
but
I
as
hope
far
it's
as...
got better bulkheads and, waterproof bulkheads, because that's what did her in the last time.
Well,
hit the iceberg.
It's going to have modern safety things and navigation methods that are more up to date, obviously.
But are you saying that it's going to look exactly like the
Titanic? It's going to look exactly
the
same rooms,
really?
The same everything, right. The smokestacks, the whole thing.
Wow.
And it's a luxury liner, and it's going to honor the ship's 100-year anniversary, and it's going to go, on the original route.
What, Southampton to
yes.
New York City?
Yes. And after that, it's going to actually traverse the world. It's supposed to go around the world.
Well, that's amazing. And I'll tell you what, and I think you saw the book. One of my friends years ago gave me a gorgeous book all about the Titanic with all the plans, and it had old photographs of what it looked like inside, but then it had artist renderings of what the rooms looked like and everything, and what a gorgeous ship that was for its time.
I think it's a really big deal. I think it's a very cool idea, and hopefully they don't be in any areas where there are
icebergs.
But anyway, that was that. And another thing that I thought was really interesting is that right now, and Venice, in Italy?
Yes.
Which I love going to for just a few days at a time because I can't take more than that. But it's covered in water by flooding.
Well, Venice is actually a city that was built on a marsh.
It's sinking.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's been sinking forever, ever since they built the city. So it's not out of the ordinary for Venice to be underwater. It doesn't take a lot to put it underwater.
Yeah, what happened is, I guess that Venice frequently floods, but the pictures of this are quite, that's flooded a lot. They had some very strong winds, which raised the water level by like 5.5 feet or something.
That's a lot for Venice. Yeah. Believe me, I'm sure they lost some stores in there.
So, so it's all flooded, which would be really interesting because every time we've been there, everything has been just fine. But I thought that that was an interesting story.
But, you know, people that go to Venice have got to do the gondola at night. Okay, remember that? We did the gondola at night, and it was really cool. We did one in the daytime and one at the night, but I loved the one at nighttime. So, you know, just a food for thought there.
Well, you know, we talked for just a second about the month of October, and you know that there's a movement afoot to change Halloween to be on the last Saturday of the month of October and no longer on the 31st.
You can't do that.
And it's gaining traction, and I'm sad about that because it's another thing that people are taking away from us, from our customs and traditions. And there is a reason that Halloween is on the 31st, and that's because it was Hallows Eve.
And
goes back to Celtic times.
And the 1st of November is El Día de Muertos, or the Day of the Dead. And
yes.
It's not on October 31st. It has to be on the day after. So you've got to have Halloween on the 31st of October.
Right. Because the theory was that the dead come out, or the spirits, they come and they want to go get their relatives. And so the treats are, you know, kind of gifts for them to stave them off. And the
what are costumes, the costumes about?
The costumes, you know, there's all kinds of different theories, but the costumes are supposed to be so that they don't recognize you, so that they don't take you into the world of the dead.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay, I'll bet you 90% of the people don't even know that.
So, you know, you really can't change the day because it has to be the day before. It has to be on the eve of November 1st. Okay, so here's my facts for the day, and it's on something that I enjoy a lot because I'm forever watching the Weather Channel.
Okay, now I want to say something about that, because when you first started doing that, I thought you were weird, okay? But
I am
then
weird.
I started watching the programs, and I got hooked on the Weather Channel. So there's a lot of really cool stuff on the Weather Channel that a lot of people don't know about. So you won me over.
Yeah, there are. So I'll just give you some 10 little tidbits of weather oddities, okay?
Okay.
So hypothermia, that occurs when the temperature of a human body falls from its usual temperature of around 98.6.
Correct.
To below 95.
Correct. And I deal with the opposite, okay?
Okay.
Which is overheating, or hyperthermia.
Okay. Well, sometimes that happens too. In 1995, hailstones bigger than a cricket ball. I don't even know what a cricket ball,
I think it's a little bit smaller than a baseball, but not much.
Not, and a little bigger than a golf ball and smaller than a baseball, I think.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
It happened where? Of course, in Texas. And I think that was the storm that broke all of our windows in our house.
And we got to have a new roof, too.
Yeah, a new roof and new windows. And it broke the record for the most damage caused by a thunderstorm. The next thing about weather, which is just so fascinating. I mean, I love the Weather Channel. You know, when you have a rainstorm and you get that smell that comes with the rain, and it's like you feel like it's fresh and, you know, okay. Well, that smell actually is given off by bacteria in the soil.
Oh, wonderful.
Called actinomycetes,
okay,
which are kicked up into the air by the rainfall. So other than that, they live in the ground, but when the rain comes,
I'm
they
get
off.
I'm glad you didn't ask me that for a quiz, because I would have never gotten
that.
Yeah.
Another interesting weather fact, fog is a type of cloud called stratus. And you know what a stratus cloud is up in the air? It's a very thin, wispy cloud. Well, fog is a stratus cloud that's on the ground.
Okay.
And we just drove through a whole bunch of it between Texas and California.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? That's so interesting, because we have hit literally every single kind of weather in that one area outside of Van Horn, Texas, on the way to El Paso. The only thing, and I don't want to jinx myself, but the only thing that we haven't hit yet, correct me if I'm wrong, is
don't
a dust
storm.
Don't
say it out loud.
Is a dust storm,
well, there
right?
it went.
We've hit
now
every,
we're going to hit it.
We've hit everything but a dust storm. We hit the big, huge hail. We've hit everything.
Well, now we're going to hit a dust storm because you jinxed us. The ice of the Arctic contains about 10% of the world's fresh water, and the reservoir reflects sunlight, keeping the region cool, and it also keeps our global climate stable.
Okay, and then there's all that global warming.
Yeah, we're not
right?
going to talk about that. You know, when we go through the desert, I love seeing dust devils. You know, they look like little tornadoes.
Yep, we like to watch them.
Yeah, they're simply whirlwinds of dust, which we all know. That's a pretty simple one. The coldest temperature ever recorded on Earth in Antarctica was a negative 135.8 degrees in August of 2010.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
So how about that global
okay.
warming? Unstable air and moisturizer are the main causes needed in order for a thunderstorm to form. But did you know that you cannot have thunder without lightning?
Thunder, no, I actually didn't know that.
Thunder is a direct result of lightning. You cannot have the thunder without the lightning.
Okay, now, how is thunder created?
From the lightning.
I asked you that because I don't know. We wouldn't do good on Jeopardy and some of this stuff. Go ahead.
Okay. And just two more. In 2011, there was 154 floods, 16 droughts, and 15 cases of extreme temperatures reported throughout the world. And the last interesting little weather tidbit for the day is that the sun produces so much energy that every second its core releases energy that is equivalent to 100 billion nuclear bombs.
Get out of here.
Nope.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
That much?
That much.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I want to real quickly talk about a hero of the day.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So, we just had a man and his sons going to McDonald's.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes. Leaving McDonald's.
A CCW, carrying concealed weapon holder.
Yes. And an active shooter walked into that McDonald's and started shooting. He pulled out his gun. He killed that shooter. He and his son also got shot in the process, but they are okay. That man would have killed probably everybody in that McDonald's had it not been for that CCW holder. And with all the things that are happening, and again, the Democrats are going crazy about gun control, this is why we like it the way that it is, and we need to leave it, because good citizens save lives.
Well, what we had is a good man with a gun vanquishing a bad man with a gun.
That's it.
All right.
So God bless him. I'm glad he's okay. And
could have been worse.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm all teed out, and I'm ready for bed.
Okie doke.